Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, February 9th, 2015. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Greyhound Event Center manager says it will close if instant racing machines are outlawed. Lawyers ask judge to prevent prosecution of Kettle Falls 5 in medical marijuana federal case based on a line in the federal budget bill that was passed into law in December. Washington legislators considering various bills on mental confinement. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Greyhound Park Event Center in Post Falls manager Doug Okunowitz told the Senate State Affairs Committee today the event center will close if it can't keep the instant racing betting terminals, in which bettors place wagers on videotaped horse races that have been run in past years. According to an account on the Spokesman Review website, Okunowitz told lawmakers, "We've been operating at a loss for years with the hope that one day we could get legislative approval to expand gaming and maybe keep the place kicking. We haven't been profitable for 7 to 10 years. He said the building at the former Greyhound racetrack is, quote, a single-purpose kind of building. It was built specifically for racing. The committee was considering a bill from committee chair Senator Kurt McKenzie of Nampa that would repeal a 2013 law that allowed betting on the historical races. The bill is backed by the Coeur d'Alene tribe. McKenzie adjourned the meeting when the committee ran out of its allotted time and said the hearing on his bill will continue Wednesday morning. The Greyhound Park Event Center was a Greyhound racing track from 1988 to 1995, but that stopped after numerous allegations of abuse of the racing dogs. The Idaho legislature outlawed betting on dog racing in 1996, but grandfathered in betting on simulcast racing conducted out of state. Okunowitz told the committee the simulcast betting made enough money for the park at first, but revenue from that form of gambling has steadily declined, leading to lawmakers voting 2 years ago to allow historical horse racing bets. The Coeur d'Alene tribe has already announced it has canceled the July-Amsh powwow held every summer at Greyhound Park in Post Falls in reaction to the continued use of the instant racing betting machines. The large outdoor powwow had been running in Post Falls for 17 years with 30,000 spectators and 1,600 participants showing up for the three-day event last summer. Republican Senator Bob Nonini of Coeur d'Alene Friday introduced an alternative to the Coeur d'Alene tribe-backed Senate Bill 1011 being considered in committee today. Nonini's bill would only allow instant race betting with the historical races at three locations in the state, LeBois Park near Boise, Greyhound Park at Post Falls, and a park in Idaho Falls. Idaho Governor Butch Otter's Division of Financial Management issued a report today saying the state revenue was $1 million or 1.2% over forecast for the month of January. Sales tax revenues were 1.1% below forecast, but 7.6% higher than January 2014. Appearing before the Joint Finance Appropriations Committee today in Boise, State Treasurer Ron Crane asked for $60,000 to have a third party perform an annual independent audit. In recent years, the State Legislative Services Office performed the annual audit. Last year, the office said Crane's decision on investment changes resulted in a loss of $10 million of taxpayer money, a figure which Crane disputed. The report resulted in a first-time external audit, which Crane said turned up no problems. Representatives of the Office of Performance Evaluations told Idaho lawmakers today the state has spent $10 million a year since 2011 on private law firms. They say most of the legal work could be done by the state attorney general's office if the office had increased resources. The state has already paid $400,000 in attorney's fees to the winning side in the gay marriage case. Last week, lead attorney Deborah Ferguson, who represented four Idaho lesbian couples in the successful lawsuit to overturn the state's gay marriage ban, filed a motion with the federal district court asking for an additional $300,000 in legal fees. Gay weddings started in October when the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld Idaho federal judge Candy Dale's ruling in the lawsuit by the couples against the state. An appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court filed by Idaho Governor Butch Otter and Attorney General Lawrence Wasdin is still pending. Avista Utilities filed a request with the Washington Utilities and Transportation Commission today to increase electric rates by 6.7% next January and increase natural gas rates 6.9%. The utility says the increases would raise $45 million for the company to pay for major capital upgrades. The upgrades include continuing work at Little Falls Dam and Nine Mile Falls Dam on the Spokane River, replacing several hundred miles of natural gas distribution lines, and investing in advanced meter systems. The increase would raise the monthly bill for the average residential electrical customer by $6.45, making their bill $87.67 for using 966 kilowatt hours of electricity. The Washington legislature is considering several bills that amend the Involuntary Treatment Act this year so that it's easier for the state to hold mentally ill people. Current Washington law allows authorities to hold someone for 72 hours if they determined they are a threat to themselves or others or are gravely disabled. After 3 days, a judge can order someone held another 14 days if a professional testifies the person should continue to be held. Under current law, it takes a second court appearance to allow someone to be held for 90 more days after that. House Bill 1451 allows authorities to hold someone, quote, with persistent or acute disabilities, unquote, which is a lower standard than danger to themselves and to others. Lawmakers are hesitant to make it easier to hold the mentally ill without greatly increasing funding for mental health programs because many who might be held under the involuntary commitment law actually end up being held in jails or emergency rooms because of lack of space at the state-run mental health hospitals. The bills are being promoted with two stories. One is the killing of Sheena Henderson of Spokane last year by her husband at a Spokane Hospital cancer clinic. The day before the murder, the husband, Chris Henderson, was questioned by police when a coworker overheard him threaten suicide and make threats against his wife. Sheena Henderson's father, Gary Kennison, testified to the House Judiciary Committee last week that Chris Henderson, quote, did not meet the criteria for commitment and they let him go. After he committed the murder, Henderson committed suicide. Doug and Nancy Reuter also testified about losing their son, who was not committed when friends said he was behaving erratically while living in Arizona. Joel Reuter was shot and killed by Seattle police after he moved to Washington, and police say he shot at them from a balcony. Lawyers for the Kettle Falls Five federal medical cannabis defendants will ask District Federal Judge Thomas O. Rice Thursday to either prohibit prosecutors from pursuing charges or throw out charges because of a clause in the bill funding the U.S. government passed in December. The bill said federal money can't be spent to prevent states from implementing their own medical marijuana laws. Federal agents seized 75 plants and guns on the family's mountain property near Colville in 2012 saying the family violated Washington's medical marijuana laws. Rhonda Lee Firestack Harvey, her husband Larry Harvey, their adult son and daughter Roland Gregg and Michelle Gregg, and family friend Jason Lee Zucker face years in prison. The five were part of a medical cannabis collective growing under the state's medical marijuana law. They said all five had medical marijuana authorizations. Prosecuting U.S. Attorney Earl Hicks wrote in a briefing, "It appears the defendants possessed more than the allowed 72 ounces of pot at one time, and they sold some of the marijuana to people who were not part of any gardening collective." If the case moves to trial, a ruling by U.S. District Court Judge Fred Van Sickle will make it difficult on defendants. Van Sickle ruled in May the defense cannot speak about Washington's medical marijuana laws because it would be confusing to jurors. Instead, Van Sickle said, the jurors will only have to decide if the defendants violated federal law that prohibits possession of cannabis. Defenders of the family say the case could end Washington's medical marijuana system. National Organization for Reform of Marijuana Laws, Washington State Executive Director Kevin Oliver told the Spokesman Review, "Personally, I find it very strange that one federal prosecutor would go after a small family and another would ignore all the commercial operations on the west side of the state." Coeur d'Alene residents are upset that 670 out of 1,000 pine trees along the North Idaho College beach on Roseberry Drive were cut down in an effort to preserve the levee on the shores of Lake Coeur d'Alene. In 2011, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers told the city they had to cut most of the trees on the levee because post-Hurricane Katrina rules would prevent the city from getting disaster relief funding in case of flooding if the trees were not removed. Protests from those who lived near dikes with trees across the country led the Corps to soften its rules, and Coeur d'Alene was told only 300 trees would be cut on the levee. However, as cutting began, workers found more trees that had to be moved to comply with Corps rules, including healthy trees next to dead ones. Other trees were removed because of erosion control and grading work. Kootenai Environmental Alliance Executive Director Adrian Cronabaugh told the Spokesman Review a city ad hoc committee should have alerted residents more trees were to be cut, calling their attitude, "cut now and ask for forgiveness later." Cronabaugh said, "For me, it's an issue of lack of transparency and lack of public trust. We worked very hard to ensure that the city could keep the trees. It was what the city council and the community wanted." Washington State University is asking employees to confirm they have received measles immunizations due to the outbreaks occurring nationwide. Students already are required to provide proof of measles immunization. Campus Health Services Executive Director Bruce Wright said in a news release Friday, 97% of WS students are vaccinated against measles. Wright wrote, "We don't know how many employees are vaccinated, and the health of our community is dependent on making sure as many people as possible within our community are vaccinated or have demonstrated immunity." The Centers for Disease Control says there have been more than 102 cases of measles nationwide in January. Before vaccines came into wide use in 1963, measles deaths were common in the U.S. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look in at the weather, there is a flood watch in effect for Paradise Creek at Moscow. Rain is expected to continue through tomorrow morning on the Palouse, which may lead to minor flooding on Paradise Creek in Idaho and Washington. Residents and those with interests near the creek should monitor rising water levels and be prepared for possible flood warnings. Otherwise, the weather tonight is calling for 100% chance of rain, low 39. Southwest winds 10 to 15, gusts up to 20 miles an hour. 60% chance of showers before 10 a.m. tomorrow. Cloudy, high 48. Mostly cloudy, gradually becoming clear Tuesday night with a low of 36 and sunny on Wednesday, high 52. Currently at the Pullman Moscow Regional Airport, light rain, 47 degrees. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next, we'll have Eat the Airwaves, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events, and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on Radio Free Moscow, be sure to become a member of Radio Free Moscow. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the Radio Free Moscow website to find out more ways to help Radio Free Moscow. I'm Lee Robardis. Have a great evening. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial.